Hello, and welcome to the second hour of A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and I am live here on WGH Talk. Also streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app on any electronic device. The name of the app is called TuneIn. Once you download it, please type in WWGH in the search box. Okay. If you would like to call in, talk with me. I'm the guest and I'm the host today. Okay. 740-383-9944. And to all of you New Year's resolutionaries, stay in the fight. Keep up the good work. Don't give up yet. Be in it to win it. Fight to the end. Because I know there are some good New Year's resolutions out there. So just keep up the good work. I have a thought for you today. The thought is titled, Love Emerges When I Combine Good Wishes with the Words I Speak. Love emerges. Whatever is spoken with love is free from selfishness and negativity and has a powerful effect on others. Any word spoken out of love can bring about change in others and in myself. I'm sure a lot of you can agree with that. Like my mother used to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. But I don't mean just go smoke. No, I don't mean that. But, you know, just make it a note in your daily life today. And maybe you can share some of that with people that you meet. And maybe they can share with someone else. Love emerges. Love begets love. Hate begets hate. And we want to be on the love side, right? Right. So hopefully your Thursday is going well. The weekend is well on its way. And I know many of you may have plans and for the weekend. I'm just asking you to be safe. Be wise. Don't be foolish out there. There's a lot of things that you can get into easier than you can get out of. So just be mindful of those type of things. Now, let me share with you also those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. And I would like to start with Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child Evangelism Fellowship for Marion and Union Counties. Child Evangelism Fellowship is known as the Good News Clubs, and they are in every elementary school in Marion City and Marion County, also Union County. They will be having a silent auction March the 4th at Cornerstone Alliance Church in Marion, Ohio. Doors open at 10:30. Don't forget, there will be lunch. It'll be a $10 donation. And many things for you to bid on. So please mark your calendars. Tell your friends and tell your neighbors. Especially those people who like to go shopping. There will be a lot of baked goods. All kind of things that you will be able to bid on. So hopefully we will see you there. Next we have Logos Christian Ministries. Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, no free produce until April the 15th of 2023. No free produce until April the 15th of 2023. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. Those who support A Voice of a People have been supporting me for more than, I say, 7 years. And I am so thankful for their dedication to this program. I thank those of you who support me now. I thank you for your time, your support. Thank you so very much. And if it this is your first time, I pray it will not be your last time. I appreciate you as well. Well, today, I'm left to be your host and your guest. So, I do want to share some things about you. Have you heard people say that, well, God has so many names, and a lot of people struggle with the name of Jesus, and his name is Yahuwah, Yeshua, and all those different types of names. Well, I do want to share some of those names with you today. And not only share them with you, but give you a little synopsis of what it means, each word means. And I think I'm going to start with Jehovah, Quanah, Q-U-A-N-N-A, Quanah. You know what that word means? Jealous. Have you ever heard that God is a jealous God? And people might say, well, how can God be jealous? Because he is your creator, and he is the one responsible for you being here. He takes care of you. He makes sure that you have food and shelter and raiment and everything that you need. And a lot of people just will not give him credit for that, and they will run around like they have no God. Like, I don't know how I have all these things, but I have them, so I'm just going to give someone else the credit for it. You know, a lot of people don't understand or realize that we live and move and have our being in God. Okay? Now, let me tell you what. Even though I'm telling you that Quanah means jealous. Okay, this is the description. And I will give you a scripture. The scripture comes from Exodus 34 and 14. Okay, now this is from the New King James Version. The Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. We're going to start there because that is right along with the first commandment. I know you've heard of the Ten Commandments. This is the first commandment. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? It's a two-part commandment, but thou shalt have no other gods before me. Quanah. So if anyone tells you or asks you, is it true that God is a jealous God? Write down that scripture, Exodus 34 and 14, and it tells you, the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Now his name is Jealous, all right? Oh, I think that was so powerful. He's so jealous, his name is Jealous. And you think you're jealous? Nah, you have nothing on God, okay? Now, Yahweh. I know a lot of you have heard of that name, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh. Let's see what Yahweh means. It means I am. Now, this takes us back to Exodus 3 and 13 through 14. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say them to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So that is another name of God, Yahweh, and it means I am that I am. I am who I am. Okay, that's another one. The next one will be Jehovah Tsekenu. What does that mean, Jehovah Tsekenu? That means the God our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. That comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 through 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsekenu. And that's spelled T-S-I-D, Tsekenu, K-E-N-U. Hopefully you're learning some things here. I think it's so neat for one person, one being, to have so many names. And you know, these are attributed to God's attributes. And we wonder, how can God be so many things and he's only one being? But he is multifaceted, multifarious. He is omnipotent and omnipresent. There is nothing you can do with God. There's nothing you can really help him to do to be who he is. This is just who he is. And he is all these attributes. You know, he functions and moves and deals with his people and his creation in all these ways. And every move or action that he does has a name or a title. You know, mine could be like Linda Who Walks, you know, or Linda Who Talks. Talk show host of A Voice of a People here on WGH Talk. I could be that person, but I don't think I have all these attributes that God has. I don't think any of us does, nor are they so powerful and mean so much to each and every one of us. And how he deals with us, right? Right. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not trying to compare myself with the Lord God. God forbid. I'm just trying to give you some type of an example or help you relate to, you know, being able to do one more than one thing. Okay. That's what that was about. Okay. Now, the next one is Jehovah Shema. And it's titled, The Lord is There. Okay, now let's see where that comes from. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. This comes from Ezekiel 48, verse 35b, as in boy. And the name of the city from that day shall be, The Lord is there. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there, not only indicates the Lord's presence, but represents a place, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 3 and 12. The New Jerusalem. Jehovah Shema is a reminder that no matter what has taken place in the past or what is to come, God has not abandoned his people. There will be a restoration because the children of Israel are his. The land he created is his. There is nowhere that he isn't and nowhere there. And so wherever there is, he is. In Ezekiel 35, God explains what happens to those who try to possess what is his. Wow. Because you, descendants of Esau, have said, these two nations, Israel and Judah, and these two lands shall be mine, and we will take possession of them, although the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will deal with you in accordance with the anger and envy you showed because of your hatred for them, and I will make myself known among them as judge. When I judge and punish you, and that's verses 10 through 11, Amplified Version. The Edomites would not overpower the chosen people because the Lord was there. The chapter of Ezekiel go on to discuss the restoration of Israel to God, and that's verses 39, verses 25 through 29, and the dividing of the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel, and that's verses 47 and 48, The book ends with Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Whether going into battle or facing daily challenges, confronting evil or looking to the future kingdom, the name of the Lord to be called upon is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. So wherever you go, whatever you do, remember, the Lord is there. This is the next one. Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. The Lord of Peace. The Lord is peace. So now you know that peace is a person. The Lord is peace. That comes from Judges chapter 6, verses 23 through 24. Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizarites. The next one is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts. That comes from 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, 10 through 11th verse. Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts, is used nearly 300 times in Scripture, often to refer to God's overpowering of earthly armies. Throughout the Old Testament, Jehovah Sabaoth seems to be constantly at war, giving victory to his chosen people. The sovereignty of Jehovah Sabaoth is not only over earthly armies, however, but also over the spiritual. He is the Lord of heaven's armies. The Lord of hosts. That's what the host means, armies. In 1 Samuel 1, Hannah calls on Jehovah Sabaoth to overpower the spiritual army. Woohoo! We got somebody with some faith here, right? She said, "Overcome that spiritual army that's stopping me from getting my blessing." Are you there? Are you willing to fight for what you want? You better pick up your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel and get some of that Hannah had. Build up your faith. She says, "Overpower that spiritual army that had invaded her and left her barren, childless." Hannah's repetition of calling herself the Lord's maidservant in 1 Samuel chapter 1 shows that she honors the power, the sovereignty of the Lord, and he proves that sovereignty in her life, giving her a son a short time later. And that can be found in verses 19 through 20. And as his maidservant, Hannah honored her promise to her king, dedicating her son Samuel to the Lord's service. Who is he then, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, who rules over all creation with his heavenly armies. And that's Psalms 24 and 10. Yahoo! Woo! The armies of heaven. The Lord of hosts. See? All powerful, almighty, all knowing. Jehovah Rapha. I know him as a healer, and his name is Jehovah Rapha. This is another attribute of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord who heals. Okay, now let's see where that's going to lead us to. Oh, wow. Are you getting excited? Have you heard the Jehovah that you need in your life today? And hopefully you do. But if you need a healing, here goes. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now that is Exodus 15, verse 26. Let's set the scene for Exodus chapter 15. The Israelites had just escaped captivity. They'd just seen God part the Red Sea for them, rescuing them from the hands of the Egyptians. The horse and its rider, he has thrown into the sea. Verse 21, the Israelites sang praises to the Lord, but then they began to grow thirsty. 3 days passed without water. When they eventually did find water, it was bitter, and so were their attitudes. Verses 23 and 24. Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord responded with Exodus 15 and 26. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God was reminding them that He could put the same plagues on them, that He put on the Egyptians. Those plagues consisted of boils, locusts, death. But that He could also heal them and restore them to good health. And Lord God, Jehovah Rapha, we are calling on You today to heal us with Your healing virtue. Touch our bodies. Touch our minds. Touch our hearts. Heal us, Lord God. Meet us at the point of our needs. I know that there may be many people listening that may need a healing in their body. We are asking You, Lord God. We are calling on You, Jehovah Rapha, to heal Your people today. Those that are listening, touch and heal their bodies. Because only God can heal. Now, He can also work through medicine. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor or anything like that. He can heal through medicine, or He can heal on His own. And He's also working through that medicine as well. And He gives doctors witty inventions of medicine and how to heal us. But He wanted them to know, yes, I can put those same plagues on you, but not only that, I can also heal you of those plagues. I can restore you to good health and good life and the faith that they once knew. See, we want to keep our faith. And His healing helps us keep our faith. God will grant us healing. The healing that the Israelites needed at this point was as much spiritual as it was physical. While they were physically thirsty, their spiritual thirst was the one that God wanted to see quenched. When God reminds us that He is Jehovah Rapha, He is reminding us that He can heal us. He's reminding us what? He can heal us from sickness and disease. Yes, because while Jesus walked the earth, He healed the blind and the lame, but God can also heal us from sin and unrighteousness. He has provided the final cure for everything that ails us, and that is Jesus Christ. So, how has God revealed Himself to you as a healer? Think about that. And if you can think of something, call me and let me know. There's many people who need healing, and they need their faith to be exercised and knowing that they can depend on God to heal them. The number here is 740-383-9944. Don't keep it to yourself. Let people know the miraculous things God has done in your body and how He has healed you. I know he healed me from cancer in 2001. I'll give my own testimony. When the doctor said I would live no more than 2 years, whether I took chemotherapy or not. And I talked to the Lord that morning. And I said, Lord, if you give me a miracle, I will take it and I will walk with it the rest of my days. And here I am. What, 22 years later? Giving this same testimony how God healed me of lung cancer without chemotherapy and radiation. But the doctor had the same testimony. He says, I believe that the Lord chose me for this. I know exactly what to do and how to do it. And I think you will be okay. What? Whew. I jumped on his face so fast. You hear me? I took God at his word. You don't find too many doctors even tell you that. But he did. So you think about how God has revealed himself to you as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Ra, R-A-A-H, the Lord, my shepherd. Okay, let's read that. Okay, that comes from Psalms 23. Most of you probably already know that by heart. Hard. And don't even have to go to your scriptures to look it up. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You, Lord God, anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is one of the most popular and common psalms. And it's, what am I saying? No, that's, yeah, Jehovah Ra, my shepherd. One of God's favorite ways to describe himself is as a shepherd. The relationship between the sheep man and the shepherd God is clearly a master and his subjects, and yet the shepherd is not depicted as a typical ruler, rather than a rod that chastens, his staff comforts. If one sheep goes missing, he is the one who seeks him out. That's Ezekiel 34:11. Luke 15:4. Like David, a good shepherd is willing to risk his life to protect his sheep. 1 Samuel 17:34 through 35. John 10:11. And because the sheep know that the shepherd is there to guide, protect, and feed them, the sheep know his voice and willingly follow. John chapter 10, verse 4. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. Do not forget that. How has God revealed himself to you as your shepherd? And it should not take any of us long enough to say how God has revealed himself to you as your shepherd. The next one is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. What does that mean? The Lord my banner. This comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 15. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill and the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill as long as Moses held up his hands. The Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." I guess the American flag is our banner. And I think every state has their own flag, which is the banner that waves at certain commencements and governmental offices, you know, addresses that they may have to give. But the Lord is our banner. In Exodus chapter 17, it says that Moses knew that the Lord had won the battle against the Amalekites, and that whoever was on the side of the Lord would always prevail. So he declared the place Jehovah Nissi, "The Lord is my banner." So that's how it got its name. Okay, now we have Jehovah Mekadashkim. Mekadashkim. That's a long name. Mekadashkim. I may not be saying it right. Mekadesh him. Mekadesh him. Okay, the Lord who sanctifies you. You can give me grace for that one, okay? And the Lord said to Moses, "But as for you, say to the Israelites, you shall not certainly observe my Sabbath. You shall most certainly observe my Sabbath, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you may know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord who sanctifies you and sets you apart from myself." How you like that? God sanctifies you to set you apart for himself. That can be found in Exodus 31, verses 12 and 13. Yes. To be sanctified is to be set aside for the Lord, dedicated to him and made holy. God was asking the children of Israel to observe the Sabbath, to set aside the day solely for him, as an acknowledgement that he had chosen them. The children of Israel were God's chosen people, set apart from all the others, and out of them would come the root of David, Jesus, who would bring salvation to all the world. Isaiah 11 and 10. The next name is Jehovah Mecca. The Lord who molds me. Shake me and mold me into who you say that I am, Lord. One of my prayers, Jehovah Mecca. Mecca. M-A-K-K-E-H. The Lord who molds me. I will not look on you with pity. I will not spare you. I will repay you for your conduct and for the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that it is I, the Lord, who strikes you. Wow. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 9. Let's read about that a little more. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Jesus did not discipline Peter because he was mad at him, but because he loved him. He wanted Peter to believe that God had sent him for this purpose, and it was Peter upon whom he wanted to build his church. That is Matthew 16 and 18. So God shapes us and he molds us into who he says that we are. Wow. And then there's this one too. Matthew 16. Jesus tells his disciples that the time has come for him to be crucified. Peter argues with Jesus, saying, "He'll never let it happen." To which Jesus replies, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus' rebuke seems harsh, calling Peter Satan, but this is Jehovah Mecca, the Lord who lovingly chastens, molds, and corrects his children. Aren't you glad he corrects us? And he doesn't just let us run around crazy and stupid. And he brings us back into focus. And, you know, he heals our bodies. And he sets us free from sin and shame and sickness and disease. And from the oppression of the enemy. He does all those things. Now, let's go to Jehovah Jireh. I say Jireh, J-I-R-E-H. Jireh. Okay. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the source of my supply. I praise you and I lift you high. Amen. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, "To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Genesis 22 and 13. After Abraham had taken Isaac up there to sacrifice him, he took a knife up there so he could kill him, because the Lord had told him to do that, right? And maybe I can read it all. It's kind of lengthy, and I want to get in a couple more names before the time is up. Okay, but the last one says, "Jehovah Jireh, God himself, will provide the lamb." And so he did. After Isaac took his place on the altar and Abraham held the knife that would slay the boy, the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham from heaven, told him to not touch the boy, and said that he knew that Abraham truly feared the Lord. There in the thicket was a ram to be sacrificed in Isaac's place, not unlike the lamb, Jesus, who would one day take the place of all humanity. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the source of my supply and your supply. Okay, now the next one is Jehovah Hosinu. 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 Okay, yeah. The Lord our Maker. This is from Psalms 95 and 6. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. God revealed to Jeremiah that as Jehovah Hosinu, the Lord, our Maker, he was like the potter and we were like the clay, being shaped and molded into what was good in his eyes. When life becomes ugly and messy, lumpy, and misshapen, you can trust in Jehovah Hosinu, who takes what is already there and makes it into something beautiful. Isn't that a great thing? Wow. Well, we're trying to put on makeup and you know, like the outside things. God is working on us in the inside. Now we have Jehovah Gamulah, G-M-O-L-A-H, Gamulah. We'll try that. Okay, Gamulah, Jehovah Gamulah. Let's see what that is. Okay, this will probably be the last one. The Lord who rewards, Jehovah Gamulah. You can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 22, 21 through 25. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for my statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. Not my eyes, but in his eyes, how God sees me. While Saul was king, David served him faithfully, both at war and in his house, by playing the harp to calm him. But Saul was jealous of David because the Lord was with David and because the people sang. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. 1 Samuel 18:7. Saul attempted to kill David multiple times, even pursuing him when David fled for his life. But David trusted God, and he knew that God wanted him to honor Saul's position as king. So even when David had an opportunity to kill Saul, he spared his life. 1 Samuel 24:24-26. After Saul's death, when David took his rightful place as king, David faced the repercussions of Saul's actions and unfair dealings with other people groups. When the nation faced a 3-year famine, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites." 2 Samuel 21:1. When a person is treated unfairly, is wrongfully accused, or has to pay for someone else's mistakes, it can be difficult to not get defensive and attack back. But from David's song in 2 Samuel 22, it is apparent that David knew his God was Jehovah Gamulah, the God of recompense, who would reward him and exact justice on his behalf. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Retribution and recompense are his. Do not say, "I will repay evil." Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. That is found in Proverbs 20:22. Well, I am out of time, and prayerfully that you found the Jehovah, your God, your Lord, your God, who works for you, and how he has revealed himself to you. Maybe you can relate to some of those names, attributes. Why, thank you. My name is Linda Sims. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here on WGH Talk. Have a nice weekend. Be safe. Stay healthy. Stay strong. Stand and fight. The year just started. Are you resolutionaries? Keep up the good fight. Don't drop your stance. You know, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loves us. Okay? Not only does he love us, he gave himself for us. I mean, he died on the cross. He paid that price for your sins. You know, there was a price to pay, and he was willing to pay it. So let's give him honor, and let's give him praise, and let us glorify him and thank him for this great day, another great day. And I also thank Brad DeCamp. Once again, thank you, Brad, for coming and being on my show. Till next time.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place.